Hey folks, welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte. I'm a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. So the idea behind the podcast is simple. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, you can check out my website at siftedaswheat.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. So let's get going on this journey of the heart.
If you just tuned in today, we're continuing our discussion from last week with mother and son, Patty Joe and Drake Diamond, as they talk candidly about Drake's struggle with anorexia. Drake was away at college when his family noticed he started losing weight. He ended up having to leave school and seek treatment. In the end, he'd lost over 50 pounds from a 6-foot-8-inch frame. Anorexia is the third leading cause of death in adolescents today. So if you or someone you know is struggling with an eating disorder, you want to listen to this compelling story. Patty Joe and Drake, welcome back today.
Thank you, Rita.
Patty Joe, last time we ended with you talking a little bit about this idea of a perfect family, working a formula. Here you are now. You had a son that had an eating disorder. That had to be very humbling for you. Now that you've gone through all this, how do you feel about this deception that we all kind of buy into about needing perfect kids or the perfect family? I mean, we all want to wear masks today and not get real. What did God teach you about all that?
The first thing God taught me is I now know for sure beyond a doubt perfect doesn't exist. I'm not perfect. The world isn't perfect. And having a standard of perfection, whether it be conveyed subtly or overtly, is immense pressure and pain to put on someone else. And although I didn't necessarily see, I justified my plans and procedures for our four children, I can now in retrospect look back and say there was bondage there for me and for them. They were on the path of performance-based acceptance, which I think is a lot of us, and including myself, think that's what God wants from us also. So I would often receive compliments about our children, how kind they were, how thoughtful, how courteous, well-behaved. And at the time, I would always say, well, thank you, please tell them. But at the time, I didn't recognize how I would feel or think if someone began to take a detour in some way. We really hadn't seen any of that with our four children. Things had gone pretty smooth. So when this eating disorder happened in Drake's life, it really helped me to examine, what is my goal as a parent? What is my role? And is the idea of successful children, is that where my identity is coming from or should be coming from? Whose are they really? They're God's. They're mine and my husband's for a short period of time. So I'm grateful now that the bump came through Drake's life at this time for both Drake and our family, because we've learned to relinquish control, and we're beginning to walk more in freedom and in grace with ourselves and with each other.
Wow, that's powerful. And what a story. I mean, and how your story then, and how God's writing this story can touch the hearts and lives of others, and that's really what it's all about.
And Rita, one thing I would add is I think that I was driven, many of my actions, because I just wanted to avoid pain in any form. My childhood, the alcoholism in our family, the moving all the time, not knowing where I was going to be living, et cetera. I wanted to do anything to avoid painful feelings and situations. And that's just not reality. And that's not teaching, that's not modeling or teaching children to become all that they can be and live in the world we live in.
Yeah.
So I had to be willing to give up the belief that if I worked hard enough and if I made things go right, they could live a pain-free life. It's a lie, and I believed it, and I tried to make it happen.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a big part of the eating disorder mentality is avoidance of painful feelings.
Yeah.
The belief that if I go there, I'll be undone. I can't face these things. I can't tolerate these things. And so for you, Drake, how did you learn healthier ways to manage your emotions? How did you learn to be able to go to your emotions instead of restricting food?
We talked about that a lot at the treatment center. I was at Canopy Cove in Tallahassee, Florida. And a lot of what we talked about was you just have to, when you're having an eating disorder thought, you just have to, in that moment, you have to counter it with a rational thought, a me thought, you know, a thought that, a thought of truth that directly counters the eating disorder thought. And
did they give you any specific skills to be able to do that?
Well, I think the first skill is just to be able to recognize when you're having...
Yeah, to notice.
Notice, right? That was the first skill. And, we had to do this every day. We had to, journal our thoughts and then come up with responses to them. So I think, so that helped a lot. Another thing that helped help me deal with my emotions was, I sort of remembered, how I used to deal with my emotions, before I had an eating disorder. I didn't feel like I needed to, restrict food or, or exercise to deal with my emotions. I sort of, I was just more adept at dealing with, dealing with pain, dealing with struggles.
Do you think you began to start stuffing them maybe once you got to school and you felt this loneliness and all that? You start stuffing them?
Yeah, I think that's an accurate way of putting it. It was sort of a new experience for me. I would consider myself an introverted person, but I still, I definitely need, contact with humans, with people, with my peers and, social interaction. I had that throughout all of high school, and then I just, there were plenty of opportunities at Wheaton for me to have that. I just didn't take advantage of them.
So maybe fears hindered you.
Yeah.
Certain fears about not fitting in, not being thin enough, not being, maybe soft enough.
And also I feel like, once I quit the basketball team, it was just like, well, I thought that was going to be my identity, and I just didn't know what to do. So I tried to, form a new identity, which just ultimately ended up being the eating disorder.
Exactly, and that's another important thing. My experiences with clients is that this eating disorder voice somehow tricks you into believing that this eating disorder is your identity. It takes over the person. It's sometimes scary for folks to leave that eating disorder identity behind because they don't really know who they are without it. Can you address
right.
that? How did you come out of that then? I mean, I know you have a faith.
Yeah, that was a difficult process. That took a lot of time. You know, I would say even 3 or 4 months after treatment, I was still struggling. I looked back. I was cleaning out my room the other day, and I found like the food journal I was keeping, a lot of other this letter I wrote to myself about the main point was like you failed, you've completely failed, you gained all this weight, and look at you now. You're not what you once were. You're worse. At the time I was going to therapy, to counseling, which is very helpful. I definitely recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could pinpoint, one moment where it just turned around.
Slowly it just does.
Yeah, it just goes away. Mm-hmm. You get back to being normal. A lot of what we talked about, the Canada Cove was, and I was just like, well, I mean, I kind of just want to be like how I was in high school. I just want to be, that person. But then, they challenged me. Well, they were just like, well, sure, you were a great person in high school, but how about the new you? It's like a better, more improved you. More mature you, you're not in high school anymore. You gotta take all those good qualities that you had in high school and, still do those, but
sure.
Doesn't mean you have to be the exact same.
So. Yeah, and it's a tough time for kids too, because they're actually in a stage of development called identity development versus role confusion, and that transition between high school and college and trying to figure out, okay, now I'm trying to be an adult here, I'm on my own, I'm living on my own, I'm making new friends. It's a very trying, stressful time, so perfect time for eating disorder voice to kind of pulverize you with all these lies. You're a loser,
right.
You don't, fit in, whatever it says. So,
one comment to that.
Sure.
I would say that what Drake just said, Canopy Cove, helped him with not going backwards to who he used to be, because that was safe, it was a known. It was role-based behavior. I do this. I'm on the path of the basketball team, tennis team, it's academic team. And moving into taking all the good components of that and developing and maturing and moving on and using that into adulthood, we now see Drake doing and actualizing that it was a, and here's the key word, process.
Mm-hmm.
It was a process of watching the letters to himself up on the mirror come off, his weight stapled on the mirror. The example he just gave you, the letter he wrote, that wasn't Drake. That was the eating disorder writing, a condemning, blaming letter to him. But beginning to see those sorts of behaviors removed and the willingness of Drake to begin to believe that there's another way to live. And he began to actualize that now in his new school. So it was definitely a step-by-step peeling away of the old and the new, just like spring, the new life coming out in Drake's life. And that is the hope I want to give any parent who hears this story. Please believe there is life beyond an eating disorder. Please don't believe that that's going to write the whole story of your child's life, because we know that there's a process involved, but that it is possible, and we've seen it. And I pray that this will encourage parents who are walking through this. It's a very difficult journey.
Yeah, thank you. Well, what I'm hearing you both say is that Drake made a choice at some point, and he decided to take some risks. And those risks were probably terrifying at some point for you, Drake. I mean, as you stepped out and especially feeling like a failure and dropping out of school and all of that, but you were willing, you had the courage to take some risks, and those risks really paid off.
Yep.
Yeah. Were there losses either of you had to process going through all this? I mean, Drake, you know, for a while it meant you dropping out of school, rearranging your life, going into treatment, finally going to a different school. Patty, for you it meant losing your idea of the perfect family unit. Can you both talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for me, a big loss for me was I kind of fell into the, you know, the life is sort of linear and, you know, A plus B equals C. So I just thought, you know, I would just go to college for 4 years, you know. And if I just, you know, got good grades and, you know, everything would be fine, you know, I'd get a good job and I'd go from there. So it would be taking the semester off kind of through that, or threw me into the, took me out of that linear mode. And then also, despite not having much of a social life at Wheaton, you know, I generally did miss, you know, being at college, you know, being around people my age. So those are a couple of losses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just leaving school, leaving some of the friends that you had behind.
Right.
Feeling that you were, I mean, for a while there, you did feel like you were a failure. And it was just...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that was just another way that you had to silence that voice, tell yourself the truth, because, I mean, you're just setting the world on fire now, so it's just so exciting to see, you know, how far God's brought you.
Yeah, yeah, it's a real testament to, you know, what can happen.
Patty, how about losses for you?
I think Drake said it beautifully for both of us. I had to acknowledge that I had a false belief that there's a plan, and if you follow the plan, things will go just fine in life. And to me, that's playing God. And so I can have guidelines, I can have boundaries, suggestions and opinions and ideas, but I can't be driving the ship. I have to relinquish control, give it up.
So you came to a place of acceptance at some point.
I did, and I also, in doing that, I had to look at myself, because I did have to acknowledge that a lot of my identity was tied up in how my kids... There was shame for me. There was a lot of guilt and embarrassment. You don't expect a 6th-grade basketball player who's done fabulously in school and just involved into all the colleges he applied to get an eating and exercise disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So it hit me smack in the head with how much of my identity and who I am is tied up in the performance of my children. I was avoiding myself. I was avoiding building my life on a foundation other than that. And so those were big losses. They weren't positive losses. They were negative things in my life, but they were foundations for me. I didn't even see. So getting all that up has made me re-examine who am I and what am I here for. What's my role? And that's a process too.
Absolutely.
I'm very thankful. I think a lot of the eating disorder mentality is also based upon what I don't have and living a life of ungratefulness. I did not realize that putting agendas on other people and on myself and living from lack rather than fullness, how much of a ungrateful life that is a true expression of. And so it's helped me in that way to become a more grateful and accepting, as I accept that it is not what I would like for people to be.
Mm. Drake, your family finally decided at some point that you needed a higher level of care. You spoke about Canopy Cove, so you went into inpatient treatment for about a month. Can you talk about your experience there? I know Mom said a little while ago that the first thing out of your mouth was, I didn't learn anything, it wasn't helpful, but looking back now, in the long run, what would you say about your experience, and what would you tell other parents of kids that are struggling with this difficult choice?
Looking back now, it was definitely some of the most helpful, 2 months of my life.
Were you angry at first when you went?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Angry at your parents, angry at yourself?
I was angry at myself. I just really angry at the aspects of the program. I just didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of realized that, this is, they're not going to, they're going to call you out on your eating disorder. You're not going to be able to, manipulate or deceive or anything like that. It turns out for the first couple of weeks, I wasn't, adhering to the standards of the program. Treatment only works if you actually follow.
If you choose, to follow it.
Right.
So what turned the corner for you, do you think?
I finally just realized that, I think a lot of it was just, I really felt, it was probably the wrong reason to, but I felt really, really guilty, that I was in a treatment center and I wasn't, I was just overwhelmed with guilt.
Mm.
And I realized that if I'm just going to waste my time here, then I'm not going back to college.
Yeah, so you wanted to go back to school.
Yeah, that was
a huge motivation.
That was my main motivation. Mm-hmm. Was I'll do whatever it takes to get back to college, cuz that's where I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what I learned there, and my experience, it was definitely difficult because I was the only guy in the, there were two programs. There was a residential program where you live in a house, you're supervised, all your meals are prepared for you, things like that. And then there was, an outpatient program where, you live in your own apartment. You're responsible to make your own dinner, and you prepare your own meals based on a specific meal plan that you're given. And then during the day, you just you do various forms of therapy. We did a lot of talk therapy, spiritual therapy. We even did art therapy, which was I didn't really particularly enjoy. it was a challenging experience. A lot of the girls that I was with had been in treatment before, and they had been struggling with an eating disorder for 5 to 8 years. So that was that also was kind of a shock to me that, you know, wow, if, this is kind of a often a reoccurring issue, you know, if you really want to, you know, do everything you can to, you know, to get this resolved,
mm-hmm.
you know, get back home with your life. So I would absolutely, absolutely recommend going to a treatment center. It's the best decision I ever made. It's, you know, it's going to be difficult. You know, you're going to have to, basically, it's like you're learning a new way to live.
Yeah.
I definitely, you know, I would call my family every night and, you know, a couple of my close friends. I got tons of letters in the mail of support, which was great. So that was really, really helpful, all the support from my family and friends.
Mm. So for parents who are maybe considering this and fearing their kids are going to disown them, hate them, go kicking and screaming, you would say just press through that, do what you need to do to help your child get well or help yourself if it's an adult out there struggling with this decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
Add to that, not a surefire, it's a part, a piece of the process, mm-hmm. a piece of the healing that a parent must say it's not the only way or they're going to fix my child. It is a
right,
piece.
Because even after,
yeah, great point.
Even after I was in treatment, they made a point that you're probably going to struggle, because most people do, you know, going back to the real world. And I did. So just, you know, as advice to anyone who just chooses to go into treatment, just know that you're not just going to go to treatment and suddenly be fine. It's definitely a process.
Yeah, you're not going to wave a magic wand and be better. It's a journey, and everybody's journey is different.
Right.
Any final things that either of you would like to say? Jake?
You know, I can't stress enough that, you know, getting treatment is absolutely vital if you're struggling with an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
I know that mental diseases, because an eating disorder characterizes that. Anorexia has, I believe it's the second highest, you know, mortality rate. I think it's close to 30%.
Yes.
So, you know, it really is I never even considered that, if you don't get treatment, you know, you're going to die. It's, you know.
It's serious.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reality. If you continue to, you know, with your unhealthy behaviors, it's going to take a toll on your body, and you know you're putting your life at risk. And I can tell you that, you know, living this controlled life where you know your main goal is to control everyone around you and to look good by your own definition is really not worth it. And since I sort of moved on from my eating disorder and have, you know, sort of had a rebirth, I'm, you know, so much happier now, a lot more, to have a more balanced life. And I know that a couple of my friends from treatment center are from the treatment center actually had, you know, similar experiences. They're also doing much better.
Awesome, Greg. Awesome.
Well, thank you both for sharing your story.
I would just like to say my thing would be, do not be ashamed and ask for help. Seek the help. You can see visually an eating disorder on your child. It's visual. The suffering and the pain and the feelings and the, everything that an eating disorder brings up in the family, you can try to hide. But the best thing you can do is find help, find support, actively seek it, trust God, and have faith that the story isn't completely written for your child's life.
Yeah. Well, thank you for offering hope to those out there who may be struggling with this. I'm humbled by your transparency and your willingness to share. Drake, may the Lord continue to bless you as you move forward with your life, and we just wish you all the best. Thank you again, both, for being
here. Thank you.
Thank you, Rita.
That's a wrap for our show today. Thanks so much for joining us. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.